Each and every day, we are faced with making choices. A student nurse walked into the hospital room of a 79-year-old man who had been in there for a little while, and she said, "Hey, what hip do you want your shot in?" And he said, "Yours." So he had a choice to make, and he made it. The nurse probably didn't like the answer, but we all have choices, and he made it. Every day, we make choices that we do not think about. We just make them without putting much thought or effort into them, maybe getting up in the morning, getting dressed, what we're going to wear, all of those kind of things. Let me ask you a question about choice. For how many of you is sleep important? How many of you got enough sleep last night? All right, here's the thing. You had a choice to go to bed or to do something else. Watch a movie, anything like that. You had a choice to make, and so you chose not to get enough sleep. How many of you is your health important? And everybody better raise their hand. All right, good. What did you choose to eat yesterday? Did you choose to exercise yesterday or get some kind of activity in your life? Is your future important to you? Right. Some of us have a little bit more, but what choices did you make yesterday that said that your future was important to you? What did you do with your time instead if you didn't make any decisions that were important towards your future? Writer and producer, director Ken Levine worked on a number of television shows. Some that you might recognize: MASH, Cheers, Frasier, Wings, Everybody Loves Raymond, Becker, Dharma, and Greg. And he says this about choices: we all make choices, but in the end, our choices make us. I think what he's telling us is that for the choices we make, there are consequences for every choice that we make. Now, some of them are greater consequences than others, but every decision we make has some kind of consequence attached to it. If you desired to go to bed and you stayed up and watched TV or do something else, then you made a choice to be tired this morning. How many of you are tired this morning? All right, get some honest people. If you chose to eat a bunch of junk food yesterday, then you probably feel a little bit lethargic this morning as well. You chose to do those kind of things. If we choose to eat poorly, if we choose not to exercise, if we choose not to spend time in God's Word, all of those have consequences in our life. In my wellness class, I would tell people that every decision that you make affects some other portion of your life. Wellness is not only physical fitness, but it's emotional, it's spiritual, it's social, emotional, intellectual, environmental, occupational. All of those things come together. And when we make choices, a choice in one area affects another. I'm going to give you a really extreme example here. And just so you know, I've only heard this, all right? I've never experienced it. If I went out one night and had a few to an adult banquet or party, and I had a few too many adult beverages, and I came home really late in the morning, I didn't feel very well. And so the first place I go is right to the bathroom, to the porcelain throne. And there I stick my face in the porcelain throne and begin to get rid of some of the poisons in my body. Now, physically, of course, it's not a very good place that I'm at. What does it do for my spiritual life? And my spiritual life goes up really high because I'm praying, oh God, make me feel better. Environmentally, it's not a very good choice because where's the worst place in the world to stick your face? And how about my social life? Sherry comes in and she's like, "Honey, are you okay? Get away. Go away. Leave me alone." Every choice that we make has consequences that affect just more than the immediate thing that we're looking at. Paul is telling us this morning in the second half of chapter 6 that we have choices to make, choices in regards to sin and righteousness. And so if you'll find in your Bibles Romans chapter 6, just as there are consequences for our earthly decisions, we have consequences that affect us for eternity as well. The benefit of my earthly choice of having too many adult beverages is the effects of that will soon pass, hopefully. The choices of my decision between sin and righteousness can have eternal consequences, and that is the ones that Paul talks about today. So right now, I just choose to dive into our scripture passage. Hopefully you've turned your Bibles to whatever translation you've chosen to use this morning, or whatever means that you've chosen to see your Bible, whether it's one that you can really touch and feel, or one that you turn on. Here we go. I'm going to back up. Your sermon notes say chapter, we're going to start with verse 15, but I think we have to go back to verse 14 from last week. For sin shall not be your master, but you are not under law, but under grace. And then verse 15, what then? Shall we sin because we're not under law, but under grace? Paul says, by no means, no way should we do that. To be free from the law does not mean that one can sin and be free from the consequences or punishment. Just because we are no longer under the law, but under grace. Paul is restating here in this second half what he started out in chapter 6. He's talking about this license to sin. Because we're under grace, we're not just given permission to sin willy-nilly and not expect anything to happen. Too many of us spend time looking for loopholes or gray areas where we can tap dance, but not really think that it's sin. And we try to justify it as we go. We are really, really good at justifying our poor choices. And this is what Paul is talking about today. Sure, I cheated on my taxes. It was just one little area. And you know what? Everybody does it anyway. The government gets plenty of money, except for the state of Kansas. I'm only going 5 miles over the speed limit. They're not going to stop and give me a ticket. I mean, look at everybody else who's going faster than me. And so we justify. We make it seem right compared to everybody else. I'm only looking at pictures on the internet. It's not full-blown pornography. It's not movies or anything like that. And I'm not paying for it. It's free, so it's not as bad. And so we justify the things that we do. However, Paul says, we would be absolutely foolish to think that even for some of those minor things that we do, there are not consequences that have to be undertaken. Our grace is not a get-out-of-jail-free card. God is not going to be tolerant of our sin. Nowhere in the Bible do I find anything that goes like, oh, Adam and Eve, it was just one piece of fruit. I'll let them slide this time. David with Bathsheba, just boys being boys. You know, what are we going to do about it? Nowhere does God do anything like that. Ah, those crazy Pharisees with all their ideas. You know what? Their false idols, all their laws, all their pretension. You know, it's just the good old boys network. God, nowhere does he ever say that there's not going to be consequences for those things. Just look at Adam and Eve. Adam and Eve's sin, the consequences, some of you experienced it this morning when you got out of bed. You got a body that begins to creak and everything begins to ache. Skin sags where you don't want it to sag. Hair starts to show up in places that you never expected it to show up. Things begin to hurt. Eyesight begins to fade. Hearing begins to go away. That was never God's intention for us. But because of sin, those are the consequences that not only affect Adam and Eve, but all of mankind. And they got kicked out of paradise for their sins. Ladies, because of Eve and Adam's sin, childbirth became painful. So that tells me that it was going to be a pleasant experience at one time. And it's pleasant now after you get to hold the baby. But while it's happening, not so good. And Adam now has to labor for food to provide for his family. Because of Adam and Eve's sin, there are eternal consequences we have to do today. Thousands of years later, now we have to labor for our food. David and Bathsheba. Just boys being boys. Consequences for the sins. Nathan comes to David and says, I'm going to tell you a story about a rich man who takes a poor man's only lamb. David is outraged and says, that guy needs to be, the poor man needs to be restored four times over, and then the rich man needs to be put to death. And Nathan goes, David, that is you. David, there's consequences for your action. The baby that's to be born of Bathsheba will die. There will be turmoil in your family for generations. Three of David's sons are killed, some at their own hands of each other. One of his sons rapes one of his daughters. One of his other sons has sex with all of his wives publicly to embarrass him. And so Paul is telling us, do not think just because we have this amazing grace that Steve sang about, that you can do whatever you want. We still have to make right choices. The Bible says that the consequences of our sin are separation from God and a lack of hearing us. Isaiah 59:2 says, it is your sins that have cut you off from God. Because of your sins, he has turned away and will not listen anymore. If you don't think God is answering your prayers, maybe you need to take an inventory and see if there's some unconfessed, unrepentant sin in your life that's causing God to turn his face from you. Genesis chapter 19 says that the wages of sin is death. Proves it. Can cost you your life. Lot's wife is told not to look back as they flee the city. And what does she do? She looks back longing for the old life. And she's turned into a pillar of salt. The choices between sin and righteousness, if we choose sin, it can affect other people. Just think again of Adam and Eve and think of David and what happened to their family and to all of mankind. And then sin leads to more sin. Think of David, if you will, the story. First of all, in the story of Bathsheba, he's not where he's supposed to be. In the spring of the year, he was supposed to be out fighting. And so he chose to stay home. And then he chose to look down on a woman that was not his wife. And then he made the choice to invite that woman to his palace. And then he made a choice to invite that woman into his bed. One bad decision led to several other bad decisions. And so sin can go. And the babies died, and the sons died. Turmoil in his family forever because of one bad decision led to several other bad decisions. Now, the consequences for our sin may not happen immediately. It may take months, it may take days, it may take years. I want you to think of somebody that you might be familiar with in this area and think of Dennis Rader, BTK killer. He started his killing in the 70s. In 1991, he kind of disappeared, or he came back into light. He had disappeared for a while. And then he was caught. It took a lot of years, but now he's serving, I think, 10 consecutive life sentences out at El Dorado. He will never, ever leave that prison. Some of your consequences may come a little bit quicker. 20-year-old Michael Baker from Jenkins, Kentucky, was jailed within days after he posted a picture on Facebook of him siphoning gas from a police car. Not exactly a wise choice, first of all, to siphon gas from a police car and then to put your picture on Facebook. Look, friends, if we find a loophole to allow us to choose sin, it's only going to be temporary. Sooner or later, it's going to catch up to us, and we're going to have to pay the consequences for those choices that we made. Scripture says in Numbers 32 that be sure your sin will find you out. We may fool everybody in this church. We may fool our family, but we are not going to fool God. And so there are consequences for our actions. Grace does not free them or free us from those consequences. I mean, you think about all that happened to David for the choices he made, and yet in the book of Acts, it says that David was a man after God's own heart. If David is a man after God's own heart and he has to pay those kind of consequences for his actions, what makes us think that we are going to be free from the consequences of our choices? In that passage up there, it says that sin shall not be your master. So that leads me to an interesting truth, verses 16 through 19. Do you not know that when you offer yourselves to someone to obey him as slaves, you are slaves to the one whom you obey, whether you are slaves to sin, which leads to death, or to obedience, which leads to righteousness. But thanks be to God that though you used to be slaves to sin, you wholeheartedly obeyed the form of teaching to which you were entrusted. You have been set free from sin and have become slaves to righteousness. I put this in human terms because you are weak in your natural selves. Just as you used to offer the parts of your body to slavery and impurity and to increasing wickedness, so now offer them in slavery to righteousness, including holiness. The truth is that man is designed or was made to be mastered by something. Paul says here that there are two masters. There is the master of sin, and then there is the master of obedience. And he says, you are one or the other. You be a slave to the master of sin, or you are a slave to the master of obedience and righteousness. And there's no middle ground, he says. It's either or. You're either pregnant or you're not pregnant. There's no such thing as a little pregnant. And Paul tells us that we're one or the other. A slave to sin and the wickedness that comes with it and death, or we are slaves to righteous moral life of obedience that God calls us to. This is just not Paul speaking. Jesus speaks of two masters as well in Matthew chapter 6, verse 24. All of you probably know that verse. No one can serve two masters. Either you will hate one or love the other, or you will be devoted to the one and despise the other. Now, he is speaking about God and money, and for us today, we can think of material things. Think of how much of our sin involves the love of material things. Jesus says, look, you're either going to be slave to one or you're going to be slave to the other. In John chapter 8, verse 34 to be particular, Jesus said, very truly I tell you, everyone who sins is a slave to sin. So we choose to be one or the other. There is no gray area. There's no tap dancing on the borderline. We are either a slave to sin or we are not. Back in verse 1 of chapter 6, it says, what shall we say then? Shall we go on sinning so that grace may abound? That Greek word was epimeno. Epimeno, remember, meant to be habitual or stay there or stay with. In John's passage here from Jesus saying, very truly I tell you, everyone who sins is a slave to sin. That original language for sins is, again, that word that means habitual, a continual sin. We're not getting blasted here for that sin that happens occasionally in our life. What Paul is talking about, again, is being a slave to sin, being addicted to pornography, being addicted to alcohol, whatever it might be, continual habitual sin. He's not, again, blasting us for that occasional thing that happens. But their language here says that when we continue to do the same thing over and over and over so that it becomes a habit, this is what he's talking about today. You see, a slave is someone who doesn't have control over their life. They have offered themselves up to somebody. They are a possession of somebody or something. And the word here for slave that John's passage denotes exclusive loyalty, all in, kind of like the hokey pokey. You know, too many of us in our life are trying to put just a little bit in, just our right arm in with the Lord, or just our left arm in, but this is talking about being a slave, being all in. We put our whole self in. And then Paul says, hey, I'm using this example of slavery because it's something that you all understand. Slavery was not an uncommon thing in those days in Rome. Most people were, there were a great number of slaves, a lot of slaves. Either they were captured in war and turned into slaves, or they were born into slavery. Just like you and I were born into the slavery of sin. Because of Adam and Eve, the consequences for their sin is that we were born into the slavery of sin. And Paul says, hey, this is something that you guys understand. It is not foreign, it's not. But now, by the radical grace of God, he says, we are no longer slaves to sin. Because we chose to be a servant or a doulos of Jesus Christ. And remember that a slave or a servant was of the lowest form. And yet this is how Paul identifies himself in many of his letters. He says, a slave or a servant to Jesus Christ. He gave up himself to the will of another. You see, we choose one or the other. It's either Jesus, who is looking for exclusive loyalty, or Satan, who again doesn't want you to give that loyalty to Jesus Christ. Jesus is not looking for hokey pokey followers, friends. He's looking for people who wholeheartedly, it says, wholeheartedly obeyed the form of teaching you were given. 100%. He wants it all. And if we reject Jesus as our master, that means we choose Satan and sin. And the consequences for that choice are not very good. Verses 20 through 23. When you were slaves to sin, you were free from the control of righteousness. What benefit did you reap at that time from the things you are now ashamed of? Those things result in death. But now that you have been set free from sin and have become slaves to God, the benefit you reap leads to holiness, and the result is eternal life. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life, Christ Jesus, our Lord. The results of choosing to be slaves to sin is death. And I want to look at this word again here, because it's a really fascinating word. But first, I want you to think for a moment that Paul is really digging in here. There was this wise lady one time in my life when I was wholly invested in trying to become the next big football coach. And one night at dinner, she said, "Where is this getting you? What are you going to get out of this? What really matters?" It's like, wow. Guess I'll have to marry you. What pleasure were you getting out of working 16, 17 hours a day? What good was going to come of that? Because it's only going to be fleeting. It's only going to be for a season. Because in the world of coaching, there's only two kinds of coaches, they always say. Those that have been fired and those that will be. Because it's a very consumer world that we live in. It's what have you done for me lately? It doesn't matter what you did 10 years ago. It only matters what you're doing right now. See, Moses understood this. If we go to Hebrews chapter 11, verse 25, it says, he chose to be mistreated along with the people of God rather than to enjoy the fleeting pleasures of sin. Yeah, Moses, man. Moses, whew. Moses, you live up on the big house? Oh yeah, Moses lived up in the big house. Moses, man, had the finest of all horses, which would have been important at that time. Wow, Moses had the best. Servants, Moses had them all, as many as he wanted. Girls, Moses could have all the girls that he wanted. But it says he chose instead to be identified with his people. He knew that the people of God had a promise, and he believed that promise to be true. So he trusted in God and the promises, and they led him to understand that all of those things, the big house of the Pharaoh, all the servants, all the fine horses, all the women he wanted, were just temporary, fleeting pleasures. And yet day by day, people in our country today and around the world are choosing those fleeting pleasures. The wages of sin is death. Wages is something that we earn, right? It's what we deserve. A gift is a free thing, but we earn wages of death. Now, again, I told you this word is really, really cool, because when we think of the wages of sin as death, we typically as church think of separation from God. When we die and judgment day comes, we're going to be separated from God eternal. But that is not exactly, again, what this word means. Thanatos. Thanatos, we looked at it in chapter 5, verse 12. Misery of the soul arising from sin, which begins on earth but lasts and increases after the death of the body in hell. See, Paul is telling us that not only is that going to happen down the road, but he says people who are slave to sin lead miserable lives here on earth. Their sin takes control of them, and they lead miserable lives here on earth. When we choose righteousness and obedience, we have hope, we have peace, we have some joy in our life because of God's radical grace. And I want to paint a picture for you this morning of what I'm talking about here. When we think about not just eternal death, but death here on earth. If you have your Bibles, turn to Matthew chapter 27. And I want you to mark this, underline it, highlight it, because it gives us a great picture of what being a slave to sin is like on earth. Matthew chapter 27, find verses 45 through 46. Listen to this picture. From the sixth hour until the ninth hour, darkness came all over the land. Now what happens here in Augusta, Kansas, when it gets extremely dark at noon, in the middle of the afternoon? What do we know what's getting ready to happen? And we're getting ready for a storm. We're getting ready for a dandy. Darkness comes into our lives when we are a slave to sin. About the ninth hour, Jesus cried out in a loud voice, "Eloi, Eloi, lama sabachthani," which means, my God, why have you forsaken me?" This is Jesus Christ, the Son of God, on the cross. And at the moment that all of our sins are poured down upon me, he feels like he is lost and forsaken. He feels hopeless. He feels like God has just turned his back on him. This is the Son of God, and this is how he feels because of sin. If the Son of God feels like this in the midst of the darkness, what about all those people outside of our faith life who have not chosen Jesus Christ, who have chosen to be slaves of sin, that need to hear the hope and the joy and the peace that we have in the message of the cross? They're out there right now going through what Jesus went through on the cross. And as Johnny Hunt said in our men's conference yesterday, too many of us are sitting on our blessed assurances. There are people out there that feel just like Jesus did on the cross, forsaken, alone, in a period of darkness. The Lord of Lords, the King of Kings, this is how he felt. You see, the sins of the past that brought you pleasure for a while are just fleeting. And don't get me wrong, the reason that we do sin is because it seems to bring us pleasure. We do it because it's fun. Nobody sins intentionally because it's going to be painful. There is something, at least for a short while, that makes it worthwhile. But Galatians chapter 6, verse 7 and 8 says, be very careful, because what you sow, you will reap. So as we finish up chapter 6, what do we know? We know that grace isn't a license or a pass to do whatever we want. And we know that as believers, we should want to choose to be masters of obedience, or slaves to the master of obedience or righteousness rather than the master of sin. But we will serve one of them. And that the penalty for our sin, our choice, if we choose that, again, is a living nightmare on earth. A feeling of despair and darkness and doom of being left all alone. Sounds like an encouraging life, doesn't it? But here's the good news. You get to choose. God is not going to bully us or force us into choosing one or the other. As humans, that's what he does for us. He allows us to choose. And his hope is that each of us will choose wholeheartedly, 100% to be his. In light of that, I want to tell you something this morning. We will never be the church that God wants us to be if we don't choose to be masters of righteousness. See, we talked about before that self is the biggest sin that we have, our selfishness. And we will never be the church that God wants us to be if we are not willing to kill self. If we're not willing to give up the words I and me and my. When I read about the church in Acts, it's all about community. It's all about giving up for others. It's all about giving what I have that somebody else may become part of the community. Sharing everything that I have that others would be part of the church. And the church then was not a building, it was a group of people. Until we are willing to sacrifice self and understand that church is a place of going to those who are living a nightmare, who are living hell on earth. In the book of Acts, when people gave up self for community, their wants, their preferences, their desires, says the church was added to by hundreds and thousands daily. Friends, Kingdom Church is going just the opposite way. Because there's too much consumerism. There are too many people who choose self and not kingdom. And so we have to get to the point where nothing else matters but helping those people who are living in hell come to understand the hope and peace and joy that you have today. We have to be willing to forsake our wishes and our wants for those who have been forsaken and left alone. And I can't choose to do that for you this morning. You have to choose self, or you have to choose God. Joshua understood this very clearly. And I want you to listen to this passage closely. Joshua says, "If serving the Lord seems undesirable to you, then choose for yourselves this day whom you will serve, whether the gods of your ancestors served beyond the Euphrates or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you are living." He says, if we continue to live in the past, nothing's going to change. If we continue to live worshiping other gods and other things, history, then things are not going to change. He says, but as for me and my house, he says, I will serve the Lord. Joshua gave the people a choice. And the choice was not to do things the old way, but to think about doing things a new way. Was it going to be easy to make that choice? No. The promised land had its problems as well. There were large cities over there that had to be conquered. There were big people that they were going to have to fight. They had to cross a swollen river. But God said, if you're not going to step in the water, I'm not going to stop the water. And if you want to get to the other side, you're going to have to trust me. Today, you have to choose who you will serve. Serve my preferences, my wants, my desires, or serve those of the kingdom of God. It's a choice that you have to make. Heavenly Father, we thank you that you give us the option of choices, that you allow us to choose sin, or you allow us to choose you. And we live in a day and age where, again, Lord, that most of our sins come from being selfish. What we want, what we deserve, society is full of it. You deserve a break today. Have it your way. Father, as a church, it should be our desire to have it your way. And we don't deserve anything other than death, but you give us the option of choosing life. Father, I pray that you would help us to be a people who have hopefully already chosen life, to help others who are making a choice to serve sin, that we would help them to see that there's another choice. Not that life will always be much easier, but that there will be someone to walk with them, to help them grow stronger each and every day. That your son Jesus Christ is there for them, and that the church is there for them to help them learn to obey the master of righteousness. I pray, Lord, that you would lead us and guide us in the months and the years ahead, that we would be the choice, the church of your dreams here in Augusta and Butler County. I pray, Father, that if there is anybody here today that has not yet chosen to serve the Master of Righteousness, that you speak to their heart, that they would understand that there is hope here for whatever they're going through, the consequences of their sin, the loneliness, the darkness, that there is hope here in the church. I pray that you would speak to their heart this morning, and that as they're sitting there this morning, Lord, that they would just simply ask God to forgive them of their sins and to surrender their lives. Ask Him to be their master. And then I pray that they would share that with somebody. Maybe it's to come up front, have a better understanding this morning of what that means. But I pray, Lord, that you would speak to each and every one of us. Choose to serve you each and every day. And pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.